Maybe you're asking someone how to change the timing belt in your car, and they're like, well, you just go down to the AutoZone and...
And you get, and then he tells you a couple more things, like, and you get the half-inch quantum rotor from...
5-aught. 5-aught. I think that's a gun term, but I feel like people say that. Hello, this is episode 17 of the Time Bat Show. I am Bat Snacks.
And I'm Time Asus.
Welcome to the show this week.
Yeah, we're almost in the, I was about to say double digits, but
we're getting close.
We're almost in the 20s.
Yeah, only that's about, long. What, like 83 more until the triple digits, too.
Oh, we'll make it there one day.
Yeah,
sure. Probably not. No, it's fine. Speaking of the triple digits, I hope by the time we get there, we have more people listening to the show. What do you think
not,
about that?
You know, not that we are ungrateful for the number of people now, but...
No, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
We have consistently maintained more than one viewer per day per episode.
Listener per day.
Well, yeah, listener. Listener's the correct.
You say that every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. No, yeah. So someone is out there enjoying the show. Like, I think we decided, what, it was a family in Nebraska or something like that?
Yes.
Listens to us religiously.
So, you know, maybe sometime in the future they could tell some of their neighbors about us and we could have a few families in Nebraska.
we could have like a whole town.
They could have
like a community.
A community.
And then
they
could rent
out their town cultural center and
For us to have like a convention.
Yes.
Or you're going to listening like parties, weren't you?
I meant sort of like a convention, a get-together between listeners.
That's, maybe they could, like, invite us out, and then we could go. And then, like, they set up City Hall or Town Hall or whatever, and then we do, like, a live episode there.
Yeah. That would be great. And then the mayor hands us the key to the city, and we walk around in a parade.
I don't know why, but I'm imagining we're cutting ribbon for some reason.
Yeah.
is that a thing, or...?
There could be, like, a scarecrow making contest?
A library. Like, a library. We could, like, cut the ribbon, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that how that works?
I think it would be great.
Is that how the ribbon stuff works? You, like, cut it on a new building or something?
I think the way that usually works is it's a new building, but it could be kind of a new performance, so we could have a ribbon.
I always see it on, like, TV when they have, like, famous people. They're, like, cutting a ribbon, and then they're, like, smiling, you know, and then they're shaking hands with the mayor or whatever.
And they have, like, really big fancy scissors that
you would
never use for anything ribbons.
That's what I want to do. You know, that's my life goal, to be that guy in Nebraska. You and me, obviously. That's a good question.
That's how we'll know that we made it, when someone cuts a ribbon for us.
No, once we're cutting the ribbon, that's the thing.
I thought that we're the ones that, like, walk through.
No. Oh. We cut the ribbon. That's, like, the act. It's, like,
and
a big ribbon.
And then we walk through?
Yes, and then we walk through. But okay. That's the whole thing. You cut the ribbon to show, like, I'm in charge of this building.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know how it worked.
No, it's okay. It's like a ribbon cutting thing.
Yeah.
Did I just dream this, or is this a real thing?
I think people do cut ribbons for things.
I don't know why. Hold on. Public ceremony conducted to inaugurate the opening to the general public of a new building or business. There you go. So let's say they're going to have like a new cultural center in Nebraska. In this town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we're like the first act of the new cultural center, right?
Yeah, they would invite us.
They would invite us because we're such a big thing over there.
We would be the first to perform at this excellent new venue.
Yeah, and so at the end of it, or right before the thing, we cut the ribbon. And then, ba-da-da, and it's a big ribbon.
We could be like the masters of ceremony for the event.
We could, exactly.
We cut the ribbon. We go up and say, hey, I just want to thank all the donors and hope you guys have a good time. And
hold on. I need to find a really small town in Nebraska. There's a town called Nebraska City. So that's
the one.
That's it. So yeah, in like Nebraska City, we have like, yeah, we're like, thank you all for coming out. We hope you enjoy the show. And then we're like, and I hope you all enjoy the new Nebraska City Arts and Cultural Center. And then we snip, cut the ribbon, and then we're good.
And everybody cheers.
Mm-hmm. And then we do our, you know, episode 150 or whatever, however long it takes us to get there. It'll take a while, I'm sure. Maybe more like 350. But anyway, yeah. And then we do our podcast and everyone claps. And then mm-hmm. we have like a gift center in front, right? We have like merchandise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We have like shirts and pins and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what I want to know about this is like, so at the ribbon cutting ceremony, it's like a big thing of scissors, right?
Yeah.
Which one of us would be the cutter?
Maybe each of us takes an arm of the scissor and we try to cut it at once and then we fail and then...
Oh, that sounds a little dangerous.
There's like a comedy element.
Oh, it's like a routine. It's like a gag. We might
seriously like injure ourselves.
It's like a routine kind of deal. Yeah. And then everyone laughs and they're like, oh, that's such like them.
Classic Time Bat show, failing at everything.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. All right, good. Well, yeah, I'm excited to get to Nebraska City one of these days. You know?
Yeah. If you would like to book us, Nebraska City, Nebraska families, you can send us an email.
At contact@timebatshow.com.
Yep.
So, speaking of getting more listeners, you know, I've recently put you in charge. Well, not recently. I think it's from the very beginning. I put you in charge of our social media.
And I'm doing a great job.
And you're doing a bang-up job. I'm
pretty sure we have 4-ish followers, 2 of which are us.
I think we have 5.
Right. So 2 are us and 1 is not a human. And
1's like a robot, like a Twitter bot that just follows everyone.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've had to like text you a couple times at night and be like, hey, you tweeted that wrong or something. Yeah. And you're like, whoops, sorry. So, did we get any email recently?
So, I'm looking at our email right now, and
you're on it.
We do have some email.
Yeah.
So, Facebook wants us to get back into Facebook. I guess we haven't logged in a while.
We have a Facebook?
Yeah, we do. I post all our stuff to a Facebook.
So we seriously have a Facebook.
It's it's not a good Facebook.
Does it have content on it?
Yeah, it has all of our episodes.
How do I find this site, this Facebook? Is it on our website?
Facebook.com. No, it's not on our website, of course. That would make sense.
Oh, it is on our website. You did put it on our website.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not facebook.com/timebatshow.
This is weird. It's like you made it like a person, though.
Yeah, it's a... I don't know how to do the other one.
This is really... You know, you can make, like, Facebook, like, entities, right?
Yeah, I knew that was something you could do, but I didn't know how to do that.
The problem with this is... And I'm not going to say it out loud, but
I know what the problem is. I had to use our names as the name of the person.
This is like the worst Facebook I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You didn't like... You did this... This wasn't like a joke. You literally set this up on purpose. And...
I did them all at once.
Okay. Well, maybe we should figure out how to get, like, a real group of Facebook group.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that, but that's doing just fine for now.
So I don't see the episodes on the Facebook.
Oh, that's not the right one, then.
Oh, because this is just our names with a picture of the podcast logo.
There aren't posts. There should be a lot of posts.
I don't see any posts.
Then I've been doing it wrong. I don't know what I've been doing.
Wait, I'm going to add a friend. I'm going to add it as a friend. Maybe I can only see
maybe
posts.
I have him on private. That would be...
Did you get the email? Or no, you need to log in and add me as a friend right now. In
right
real
now?
Time. Okay, well, I just added you, so you got to get on Facebook and then do it. And we could... Maybe I'll be able to see your posts then. Right?
Here we go.
I'm sure you have like a million requests.
Hey, I have a friend request.
It's from me.
Before I confirmed.
From somebody else. Yeah, you confirmed?
I confirmed.
Okay. Oh, I see the posts now. There they are.
So I have them on private.
So you've had it on private the whole time.
I did a great job with
which
that.
Is probably for the best, to be honest. So... Wow, you like post these every day, every time we do an episode. I'm impressed.
I mean, no one sees them, but...
you're just doing it for you kind of thing.
All right, so there was logic behind this.
Uh-huh. All right, I'm going to unfriend you right now.
Okay.
Anyway, the logic, go ahead.
So the more our name and links to our show are posted on the internet in different ways on different sites, It affects search engine algorithms and makes us more likely to be found.
So it's kind of like the law of large numbers. Like, just like, the more it's out there, even if no one is looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, the web crawlers are looking at it, so.
Mm. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I don't know if it can if they're private, though. I probably messed that one up.
All right, so I think the takeaways here are if we want to be on Facebook, we need... a real thing that works. And then the other thing is we should probably tweet a lot more too, right? Just randomly. Anyway, all right.
Maybe. So
that one day we'll build an audience. I promise. Maybe not. Do you want to get into some... I have a couple of weird news stories before we get started with questions.
Let's do those
first. If you want to do some of those. I'll start with the animal one, because we love our animal news stories recently. Not recently, but generally. Okay, so I'm going to do a little quiz for you here.
Got it.
It's an animal. It's in a bathroom in Virginia. In Arlington, Virginia, rather. And it's a very large animal, and you have to guess the animal. You have three guesses.
It is
it's in the bathroom.
Ball python.
Wow, you're like dead on. How did you know that?
I mean, usually when a large animal gets loose, that's
well, okay,
the one.
It wasn't a ball python. It was a yellow anaconda, but, I mean, similar. It was really big, and it was in someone's toilet.
It was an albino anaconda?
A yellow anaconda.
Yeah, the yellow ones, I think, are the albino ones.
Oh, I don't know. And it was in someone's toilet. Can you believe that? And it was like someone found it when they were going, like they were going to use the restroom, and they're like, "Oh, there's a giant anaconda in the toilet."
So he was, his like head was sticking out of the toilet, and his body was down.
It doesn't specify, but I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think an anaconda wouldn't fit in a toilet.
Yeah, he apparently wanted to cool off, according to the snake guy of Arlington, Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, that's really terrifying. What if they hadn't seen the anaconda?
I don't know if you cannot see the anaconda, but but yeah, I don't know.
If it was dark at night,
you
or
would
something.
Have a bad time as well.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been that would have been a much more gruesome news story.
Yeah, like man is castrated
by giant anaconda in his bathroom.
Oh, I got it. Anaconda bites off man's anaconda.
You should be a journalist. That is
see,
perfect.
Right? Isn't that good? If only that happened, then we could actually write about it. So anyway, yeah, anaconda. What are you going to do? All right, next one. This is really weird. So there's a German guy, and he comes home late one night, and he's going to his apartment, and he finds that in front of his door, there's now a brick wall. Yeah.
This is not animal related?
No, this is prank related.
Okay.
Someone built a brick wall in front of his door. And he got really angry, and he had to smash it to get in, and there's some damage and stuff. And I don't know, that seems like a very elaborate prank, doesn't it?
Yeah, someone worked really hard on that prank.
Like, that probably took a couple hours to do that. At least, you know?
And a lot of money, probably.
Yeah, I mean, bricks aren't super cheap. You have to know the guy's schedule, you know? You have to know, like, when he's going to be gone, if you're going to have enough time. I don't know. Seems like a lot to do. To do that.
That's not a very good prank.
It's not. It's just mean.
Yeah.
What would you do if you found a brick wall in front of your door? It's 11:30 at night. You're coming home from one of your wild parties.
And there's a
brick wall. Wait, no, it's 12. It's 2:30 at night.
Okay.
A.m.
Yeah. I would probably try to pull the wall down first.
That sounds very dangerous, but okay.
I would probably try.
Okay. And fail.
And if that didn't work, I would probably sleep in my car.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
And, like, call the cops in the morning kind of thing.
What else can you do?
I mean, there's not really much. This guy got an axe and smashed through it, apparently.
Wow.
His neighbor had an axe. Apparently everyone has an axe in Germany, I guess. I don't know. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Bad prank. I don't like pranks. I don't like those kinds of pranks. Like, if it's all in good fun, sure, but like that's like, I don't know. That's more than an inconvenience. That's like, you know.
That's kind of weird.
You're like, out to get that guy for some reason.
When a prank like takes you a lot of planning and manual labor.
It's not really a prank anymore. It's more like
brick laying.
Yes. Whenever you're laying bricks in a prank. Then you need to stop and ask yourself, maybe I'm going too far. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you want to get into Reddit questions?
I'm ready to get into some Reddit questions if you are.
I'm so ready. I know you had a lot of trouble finding them today.
Yeah, I didn't have a good time finding any today.
The problem,
hopefully you have a few.
I have enough. The problem with Reddit is like, there are too much, like, super serious stuff, and then there's stuff that's, like, no one would ever want to know the answer to this question.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
Like, there's, like, I don't know, it's like, hey, Reddit, hey, gardener, no, wait, that's too general. I need a really specific profession.
HVAC technician.
Hey, HVAC technicians who live in Tempe, Arizona. What do you do for fun on the weekends? That's a typical Reddit question, right? And that does not have anything to do with life. Although, you know, I'd probably click on it just to see, you know, if there's the off HVAC guy.
And then the /r/ask, you have the sort of weirder, more personal questions, which I have one written down that I can read.
Some of them are like a gold mine, though. It's like, wow, this is good.
But you still wouldn't want to talk about them at length.
Right, you're right.
Like, I have a specific one here that I read today that I wrote down just because, but it's, should you stop having sex in your 30s unless you're having a child?
Yes. Oh, that's, that's the thing I wanted to talk about. I forgot. So I turned 29 a week ago. Yeah.
You've got 51 weeks left.
Yep, and then I'm gonna go cold turkey with everything fun, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like an adult right there, right? Isn't that what happens?
I guess.
Isn't that the rule, right? Like, once you turn 30, you're like, your life's basically over and you just have to, like, work.
Yeah. You're only allowed to work and watch The Price is Right and...
and Bones.
And Bones,
yes. Is that still on TV?
No.
Well, that's, you can watch reruns of it. Whatever the current Bones is, that's what you watch. You watch The Price is Right and Bones.
And you need to collect some sort of...
Stamps.
No, stamps is, that's
too
not,
old, man.
That's too old. You need to collect... Mm. You need a riding mower.
I have one already, actually.
Okay, all right, well, you're ahead of the game on that.
I'm ahead of the game. Yeah, what would I collect? Yeah, like a a too expensive knickknack that you have for no reason, but you like to collect them because, I don't know, you do.
Like porcelain flamingos or something really bizarre stupid. Like that.
Oh, like baseball cards. Like if you're into sports. Yeah, baseball
cards.
Like old baseball cards.
Yeah.
Or like vinyl records, you know, or something like that.
Or like our generation of 30-year-olds, that they might be Magic cards or Pokemon cards.
I have Magic cards still. But yeah,
so do I. Mean,
like go back and like seriously collect. Like don't play, just collect.
Yeah, like have a binder of them, collect them, yeah.
Like in a nice like sleeves, and some of them are on your wall or something.
They're organized by like a Dewey Decimal System that you made up.
What would your collection be thing? Because I would probably collect, if I had to collect something that wasn't super useful or wasn't super worthwhile, I'd probably collect like what I'd said, like maybe records or like...
Yeah, vinyls would be cool. Because you can actually, there's some utility in a vinyl. Yeah, you can listen to it and it sounds really good. And
you could put the art on your wall. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. Maybe I like some like folk art, like farmer art that you can get at the flea market. I don't know why. I think that stuff's really cool.
Farmer art? Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, that's a very 30-year-old collector.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what you would do, like some farmer art?
Or, no, vinyls are good too. I also like, I don't know, old Star Wars action figures.
That's a 30-year-old single guy collection right there, Brian.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You have like a glass case.
Yeah. And they're all like, in their packages and in the glass case.
But you got like one Luke that's out of his packaging. Because he's like the first one you got when you were a kid. And you played with him. And that's what started the whole, the whole collection. Are you Legos? That could be another thing, right?
Oh, old movie posters.
That's like a good one. I like that. Yeah. I might collect that, actually, now that we talk about it.
Or Criterion Collection box sets. Those
DVDs that are like way too expensive.
Yeah, it's like $135 for a DVD and an art book.
It's like Akira Kurosawa's Ran, and it's like $150. Like, what? Like... And you know they do that because you can't really get them anymore. You know, I mean, like all the Criterion stuff is like...
You can get them at the public library for free.
That's true. But you know what I mean? Like you can't really buy them as much. And they're like $150 with an art book or whatever. Mm. What are the other things? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say like it contains an extra 10 minutes of footage that it's never before been seen.
It's just like a shot of grass like blowing in the wind. Like that's...
You're paying for a photo of Akira Kurosawa doing, like, a silly face in a picture.
But that's, like, the scene of the movie. Like, it's just, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it says directed by Akira Kurosawa, and then his face comes up, and then it's just him, and that's just the still for the rest, like, 10 minutes, while, like, music plays in the background.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? That's it. That's the whole movie. And I bet you diehards would be like, it adds so much to the film.
At least... 10% of the movie has been digitally remastered for Blu-ray DVD.
Which is just the last 10 minutes of him, of the picture.
Yeah.
That's been digitally remastered, but nothing else has been. What else would you do at 30 years old? Like, what are the things you have to do now that you're 30-year-old?
Like, the really stereotypical things or things that I would actually do?
Like what?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't do a whole lot different, honestly.
Oh, so... Well, I mean, I'm going to turn 30 soon. I have 360 days left, right?
You need some inspiration.
I need to know, like, how my life is going to change.
So...
What?
You're going to have barbecues. And, you're going to have to invite some of the neighborhood people over. And you're going to have to drink Old Milwaukee Light at the barbecues.
Yes. I like this now. I like where you're going with this because this is like, I know people I worked with that are like in their 30s that have invited me to barbecues before. Like that's
what you do. Yeah.
That's definitely a thing. I have a barbecue that I like never use. Like it's bad, but I have one. I'll have to invest in a better one.
You know? Yeah. I don't know. I think green egg level barbecuing might be 40s. That's that really expensive ceramic barbecue. But
I would just need like a $100, $200 one.
A Weber.
A Weber.
That's the 30s grill.
A Weber. Like, I gotcha.
Yep.
I get a Weber, I invite a bunch of random people I don't know over, and then I barbecue for like the 4th of July vinyls. Or whatever.
Yeah, what? You can play your vinyls while you're barbecuing.
Play my vinyl, that's good,
Yeah.
And then like some guy that I don't know that's like a neighbor, I met him once, and he's like, oh, I like your vinyl collection, and then we drink beer and I talk about it for 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That's 30 right there, that is 30, right? Yeah. That's your 30s, right?
Then you can go outside your cars and talk about how you're going to change your brake fluid.
Oh, nice. Like, I have a change. Or, like, problems you have with your car. Like, oh, my ignition thing.
Yeah, my timing belt needs to be replaced soon.
And then he's like, oh, my starter fluid leaks. So I need to get that. I need to go in there and fix that soon. And
you're like, need to ride down to the auto zone. And,
and then you're like, yep. And then you swig your beer a little more. this is it. That's the dream. That's the life.
Yeah. It doesn't sound bad, but
in
that's,
just 360 just... short days, that will be me. I will morph into that being. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
You're going to need to cut your hair.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
You got to sell out before you're 30.
Yeah, you're right. Because I can't be like a, I can't be like a hippie in my 30s.
I mean, you can, but...
But those aren't the people that are at barbecues drinking beer and playing vinyl and talking about their cars. Those aren't the people, right?
I mean, unless you're in Portland.
Right, but I don't live in Portland. The hippie guys are the ones that are like on the street and they're still working at like as baristas or something, Those are them. Like, I'm not that person. I'm not going to be that person. Maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. I guess I still have 360 days to figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that, though. We'll do another episode, like, right after I turn 30, and we'll see how far I've gotten over to that line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of a follow-up.
We'll go through the list, and we'll check all the things that I've done. Like, have you had a barbecue yet? Like, have you talked to your neighbor about his car yet? All right, you want to get into some Reddit?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so this is a very random question, and I just wanted to say it because it's so weird. If you just made a half-court basketball shot for $100,000, and the news crew comes over to you and says, congratulations, what is the first thing you're going to be buying? What would you say to make everyone uncomfortable?
Personal lubricant, a whole lot of it.
Well, there you go. That's done. Isn't that a very elaborate question, though?
Yeah.
Did someone have like a dream or something about this?
That sounds like a really cool dream. It's like one of those dreams where you dream that you're naked in public, except you accidentally say something really embarrassing on television after a really amazing like half court shot.
Right, right. It sounds like a scene in like a made for TV movie.
Doesn't it? It sounds like a dream from a made-for-TV movie. like the main character dad who's kind of goofy
I got it.
Yeah.
This is the guy in his 30s.
Yes.
And he just had a barbecue and talked about his car. And he goes to sleep. And he has this dream.
And he tells the whole nation that he's going to buy a bunch of personal lubricant.
And then he wakes up and he thinks it was real for a second.
Yeah.
And then he like goes talks to his neighbor about it, thinking it was real. And his neighbor's like, "That didn't happen."
He's like, "Hey, Jim, I just had this weird."
But Jim's wife overhears, and then spreads the rumor around.
Oh no!
Yeah.
And Jim's wife would do that.
And that's how the movie begins. And it's Matthew McConaughey that's the guy.
No, you need like a Chevy Chase.
Okay, Matthew McConaughey's Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey is way too good looking to be the main character.
He's kind of like a I'm trying to think of that. What's that guy's name? Kinda chubby. He was in all those. God damn.
Chris Farley?
No. He's dead. Jonah Hill. Yeah. Jonah Hill. That's it.
Yeah. He would work too.
He's a little
too I don't know. Young. I think of more like a trendy kind of guy when I think of him, though. He's really.
Yeah, you're right.
He might be a little too trendy. I think Chevy Chase.
That's too old. He's like 75 now.
Right,
you need a good actor for this role. And he has to be kind of a goofy, you know, neighborhood Tom Hanks kind of guy, but obviously he's too old now, too.
The guy in Silicon Valley who's the main character, maybe? I don't know the actor's name.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Anyway, so that's what happens when you do the basketball thing. But that's the movie. So you would say personal lubricant.
Yeah, what would you say?
I don't know. I'd probably say something like nerdy, right? Like like Pokemon cards or something, you know.
That would be funny.
That would be good, right? Because half of the some of the audience would be like, "Oh, that's sweet," and the other would be like, "That's really childish."
I'm gonna buy a whole bunch of anime.
And then you wink at the camera.
Yeah. And do like the shooting a gun hand gesture, like
right. Whole bunch of anime, and then you wink, shoot the gun, and then you follow up with and some personal lubricant.
You can't have one without the other.
No, it's impossible. Okay, what is the most infuriating unfinished sentence that you can think of? Yeah, it's hard.
Do you have one in mind?
Any like answering question, like
hey, will you go to hey, I heard you were going to Starbucks.
What?
That's pretty annoying because that means they want you to get something and that you'll have to take up like their payment and pay separately.
I think the gist of this is like they're talking about something and then you're not finishing your thought and you're leaving them hanging, like. Hey, what's the answer to 2 + 2? And you're like, oh, the answer to 2 + 2 is.
You know, oh, I see.
Yes. So you're leaving them hanging.
Yeah. So maybe you're asking someone how to change the timing belt in your car, and they're like, well, you just go down to the AutoZone and.
And you get, and then he tells you a couple more things, like, and you get the half-inch quantum rotor from...
5-aught. 5-aught. I think that's a gun term, but I feel like people say that.
We could just make up, like, auto terms.
Yeah. No, you just need the quarter-inch, 5-aught caliber wrench.
with the I can't even think because 5-aughts.
I just know too many people like this.
You need I love how it's like 3/4 and 5-aught. There's like multiple measurements for some reason. Like that doesn't even make sense. You need to go down to the hardware store and get a 3/4-inch 5-aught piece of magnesium wire copper fitting with a 2/4-inch headstock or something.
And you're like, make sure you buy American. The Asians use the metric system and it won't fit your car.
Right, because the guy's like it's for like a Chevy. That's what he's preparing.
Yeah.
Duh. But like he like trails off at the end. And then he's like, what you're going to do is you're going to open your rear cab stock vessel and you're going to shove the screw into the caliper wedge. And then you're going to, and then he like gets a phone call and you're like, what do I do after I put the thing in the caliper wedge, you know? And then you have no.
He leaves you hanging and you have to get your car towed to the store.
Right. And then you have you to don't figure out what to do with Yeah, you have to figure out what to do. That's the worst. Like, when you're fixing something, I have this problem all the time. Like, the instructions on the internet or, like, from someone are never, like, 100% clear. They're always like, okay, I think I know what's going on, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
But then when you go in to do it, you know, when you're reading it, you're like, I can do this. But then when you go in to do it, you're like, oh, goodness. There's, like, way more things happening at the same time.
There's always at least a few steps missing.
Right.
And you just kind of have to intuitively figure out.
My favorite is when it's like, unscrew whatever, right? And then you go to unscrew something and it doesn't unscrew. And you're like, well, am I missing a step or whatever? Or do I have to just literally, like, force the thing, like, off of, you know what I mean?
And you're left with the decision of, do I potentially break,
break
it?
Or do I need to figure out how to unscrew it? Because a lot of times, like a cap or whatever on, like, a car will have, like some kind of, like, screw you have to undo first, and then you can get it off. But other times, they don't tell you that, and you're just like, I don't know. And so you're just like, do I just yank at it until it comes off, or... So I'm always, like, afraid I'm going to break whatever I'm fixing, you know? Happens to me all the time.
Yeah, I'm not good at assembling things.
Yeah, me neither. It's never 100% clear. That's the problem. It's always like, all right, I can do this, but then you don't know if you're going to break it or not. Okay, do you have one? Or I have like, four more, if you want.
Okay, let's go with one of yours.
All right. you have really bad ones, apparently.
They're no good.
Okay, this is going to be raunchy, but that's okay.
All right.
So, I need to know the funniest euphemism that you know, or that you can think of. And it doesn't have to be related to just sex, but that's, you know, that's more exciting.
What else are there euphemisms for?
Exactly, yeah. Apparently, a lot of people use for pooping. So that's something.
What do they say?
For using the restroom. They have euphemisms for that. So
what's one of them?
Oh, I don't want to repeat them, because...
I think you should.
Okay, hold on. I saw one. Ew, these are gross. I don't like this question anymore. So, okay, this is interesting because some of these euphemisms, I don't know if they're referring to, you know, doing...
You don't know which act.
Yes, I don't know if they're talking about the act of making love or the act of using the restroom.
That is... I think that's the best answer you can give to that question.
That's how you know you have a bad euphemism. If I can't tell...
If you're making love or using the restroom.
Like, okay, for example, playing pool with a rope. What's that? Is that restroom?
Ew, I think I know what that is.
I don't.
Playing pool with a rope?
It could be either.
So in pool, you have to grasp... the pool cue.
Yes. And
maybe the pool cue is a rope, so it's
so
you can't hit the ball with it.
So you're peeing.
No.
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
But that still doesn't make
any sense.
No,
though.
It doesn't. All right, here's another. Okay. Negotiating the release of millions of hostages.
What?
Like that could go either way, right?
If you hadn't have told me that was a euphemism, I never would have guessed that it was.
That's what I said. I don't know.
Negotiating the release of millions of hostages. Yeah, I mean, you could either be struggling in the restroom.
Yeah.
Or...
Okay, so here's another one, right? This one's obviously... Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl is obviously...
Okay, I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Hand-to-gland combat.
Nice.
Again, that could be either, though, right?
I know. I think it's pretty clearly one.
But it
thing.
Could be. It could be. Well, I'm
combat the, sort of implies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Hold on, I have to read the story. Ew, weird. Rearrange your guts.
What?
That's what it says.
Ew.
What the hell is this? Played a little 5-on-5, 5-on-1.
Watch that and be something really bad, and neither of us just get it. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Holding the sausage hostage.
Okay, I think I know what that one is.
It could be, it still could be either, though.
Could it?
I think so. Baking a souffle.
I don't understand. I don't get that one.
Feeding the gecko.
What?
Make the banana cry.
Oh, God.
I don't know. Do you know which one that is? I don't.
I know it refers to one of two things.
Well, yeah, but I don't know which.
Yeah.
Catch the bus. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that one's obvious. I'm not going to tell you any of the obvious ones, because those are two. Have to go do some paperwork. That's boring. Alright, well... Well, obviously, if you're making a bad euphemism, you shouldn't... It should be clear what you're talking about.
Yes.
That should be the new rule. Alright, what is your bad Reddit question? You don't have one, do you? I thought you had one.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
Have I ever walked out of a movie?
Yeah,
no,
have you?
No, I have not, actually.
Yeah, neither have I.
My dad did, though.
What did your dad walk out of?
I was watching. Trying to remember what movie it was. I think there was two. I remember some, like, foreign movie. And he thought it was really stupid, so he walked out. And I watched the whole thing. And then... The other one was, like, some, like, bad, like, sci-fi monster kind of movie.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the whole thing, but he's like, this is stupid, and he walked out. Like, that's what he said, what he says. He's like, this is stupid, and he just walks out. He'll do it when we're, like, watching something on TV, too. Like, if I'm watching, like, a movie, like, when I was a kid, if I'm watching a movie on TV, and I'm, like, have the remote, and I want to watch it, he'll watch it for a little bit, and then he'll be like, this is stupid, and then he'll walk away. Like, that's
just
like his...
doesn't like
that's
to
like
have
his
it on.
Watch, yeah, like, he doesn't even want to watch it anymore. So, no, I've never walked out of a movie, because I feel like, you know, I paid money for this.
Yeah,
I want to experience the full badness of this movie, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of like when... I don't mind when movies are bad.
Yeah, I mean, I do, but I'll watch the whole thing. I have walked out of a movie for, like, a personal reason once, but not, like...
Oh, not like, oh,
not like,
sucks.
I hate this movie, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've never, like, hated a movie enough to walk out on it. Well, that's not true. I've hated a movie enough to, like, want to walk out, but then I was like...
But he didn't.
I was like, I paid for this. It can only be, like, 45 minutes, you know, longer. I feel like if a movie, like... that was really bad, went on for more than 2 hours, I might walk out. Because I'd be like, okay, you know, they're really trying my patience here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I usually go to movies that I know I'm going to at least enjoy a little.
Yeah, same.
I don't know. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd go to whatever. But, like, now I'm a little more picky. Like, I'll check reviews and be like, that looks good enough. You know, and then I'll go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, not the most interesting question, but, yeah, I've never walked out on
know,
a movie.
I know.
Some people do.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do. Because, I mean, I get it. Like, you don't want to waste your time on a bad movie. That, you know, that makes sense to me. Okay, what's the best interaction you've ever had with a complete stranger? Have you ever had any weird interactions with a complete stranger before?
Yeah, I've had a few.
Oh, good.
Do you have any in mind personally?
No. What? I was, like, visiting New York when I was, like, 15 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have a lot of, like, homeless people there.
Yeah.
And this guy, like, asked me for money. And I was walking with, like, my mom or my dad. I don't remember who. And I, like, I didn't lose them, but, like, they were farther ahead. right? And yeah. I was kind of following them. And this homeless guy grabs me by the arm, and he, like, you know, asks me for money. I'm like, no, I don't want it, blah, blah, blah. And so I keep walking, and this other guy grabs me on the arm, and he was like, what were you and, like, Billy? I don't remember the other guy's name. But he, like, literally said, what were you and Billy just talking about? Like, he was jealous that I was just talking to the other guy.
Oh, no.
And I was like, sorry, I have to go, and I'm trying to, like, yank my arm. And he's like, and he says to me, like, all right, don't be a stranger. And then, like, I walk away. And then one of them, I don't know which one, is like, start saying, like, hey, you know, I don't know which one it is. And I don't turn around because I don't want to look. But yeah. Like, he calls, like, hey, you, like, four more times, and I just keep walking. But I don't know, that was pretty weird. I guess there's some weird, like, I don't know, there's like a friendship they had and they didn't want to.
Yeah, that you might have made the one man jealous of Billy.
He's like, what are you doing talking to Billy? He's mine.
That's my Billy.
Maybe he was jealous because he, like, grabbed me, you know? So he's like, oh, like, I'm only allowed to
Billy never grabs me.
Oh, God. Do you have any weird interactions that you've had with strangers?
I can't think of any right now. We saw some, when we were in Austin, we saw a couple very unusual homeless people.
Yeah, there are a lot. There are a lot of those.
Especially on that 6th Street.
Yeah, I just kind of brush it off. But that happens all the time. Yeah, they're always asking for money. And they'll get, like, really...
Passionate
about it, yeah. They're like, yeah. And sometimes they'll insult you if you, like, don't give them anything. Which is a really bad strategy, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, hey, do you have any money? And you're like, sorry, I don't have any money. And they're like, well, screw you.
I mean, if you're thinking about it like a business, then if
like,
all the people on the sidewalk are your customers, if they see you insulting a customer, then they're probably not going to give you money.
You're burning bridges. The reason you're homeless is because you're not treating your customers with respect. Oh, that was really bad. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's true, though.
It's true.
It's not really true. But that's, you know, I bet that's one of the reasons. You're a mean person. So, yeah, I mean, they do that a lot, but you just brush it off. It's fine. It's not that odd, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's an interesting social interaction question. And I have kind of... I've experienced this sometimes. Okay, so how do you eat a meal? Or, sorry, how do you not eat a meal prepared by a friend because you dislike it? This is a really badly worded sentence. Let me rephrase this. How do you eat a meal that you don't like, but it was prepared by a friend of yours without insulting them? So you're like, how do you like decide? How do you like say, oh, I'm eating it, but I'm not really eating a lot of it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can say, oh, I ate right before I came.
I'm so full. Right, that's
I know
classic.
That you said this was a dinner party, but I decided to stop at McDonald's.
That's the classic line, right? Like, oh, I'm so full. I had a big meal earlier.
Had a big lunch.
Right, you're like invited to someone's house or some dinner thing, and then
they catered at work today. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it.
And then they're like, "Here's the food. We prepared it just for our party." And then you like eat it, and you're like, "Oh, this is awful," you know, and it's like really bad. And then you just pretend to chew on it. This happens to me. Not frequently, but a lot more than I would expect.
Yeah, this happens to me semi-frequently.
Because, like, I don't know. Like, I don't have any problem with, like... The thing is, like, I don't know. There's, like, this, like, you make certain kind of food at home. And then you have, like, everything else is other food. Right? You don't really know how it's made. Or, like, you're not involved in the process of making it. You don't know people's standards of food quality. You know what I mean? So there's, like, this weird area where you're, like, you chew on something and you're, like, what is in this? I don't want to eat it anymore.
This is not something I'm used to eating.
But usually what I'll do is I'll eat it, but I'll, like, pretend. No, sorry. I'll pretend to eat it. So, like, you get one of those big napkins, right?
Yeah.
And then you chew on it, and then you just, like, look to wipe your face, but you're really spitting it out into the napkin. I know.
Okay,
it's like a sociopath kind of thing.
Yeah,
I've done that before.
That's not something I do.
Well, that's something I've done. What's your technique? What's your strategy for this?
I usually just eat it. I'm good at eating
you
gross
things. You just eat it, really?
Just eat it. Even if it's terrible.
You can just swallow it and just eat it down.
Yeah, I can do it. I can manage probably at least half of it, and then do the old. We had a big lunch at work today.
But still, then you've eaten half of it, so like you're in the clear there, you know.
Yeah.
Like if I think that's like the key, right? Like if you get through half, then you have an out. You can be like, all right, that was really good, but I'm full now. I don't eat a whole lot.
I'm probably actually doing geometric calculations in my head of, okay, so there was this much food at the beginning. If I spread it out this much and eat this much of the plate, then it will look like I've eaten 50%.
No, I was about to ask you about the spreading thing, because I think that's an important facet of this technique. Like spreading it out. And then, like, making it look smaller than it is.
You need to utilize the full geometry of the plate.
Of the plate, yeah.
Spread out the sides so that they're thin. Mm. So that way when you eat more of them, it looks like you have eaten more than you really have.
You can also hide some under other stuff.
Under other pieces of food. Yeah, that's another good strategy.
You'll only get this advice on this podcast, listener. I'm just letting you know that.
I don't think anyone else puts this much thought into eating
bad food.
I'm
glad we both know about, like, it seems like we're on the exact same page here.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is you could do after you're done, like, maybe you're concerned you maybe didn't eat half. Like, you're close. You can strategically drape your napkin over a portion of it, right? And then just, like, take it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm getting to where I can't really stomach much more of the awful food, I will try to take one more giant bite.
Just go like whole hog, yeah.
Go whole hog, try to get one last big,
big
chunk out of the pie.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There's something I was gonna say about food, and I forget what it was. It was really good, too. But yeah, there's no good way to pretend that you... There's no good way to pretend you like something, and it's not worthwhile to, like... It's not worthwhile to not eat it. Like, make an excuse, they'll know, you know?
Yeah.
They'll know. So you need to, like, fake...
You're mostly making the excuse for yourself.
Yes, you need... Exactly. You need to basically fake it enough so they can't really, they're not really sure if you really don't like it or you're just not hungry.
They might know that you didn't like it, but they won't know you hated it.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I don't want them to think I hated it.
Right. Oh, God. Okay, well, there you go. That's your answer. So use all those techniques that we just talked about, and then you should be in the clear.
Yes.
Have you ever, like, speaking of, like, food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, have you ever, like, eaten at someone's house or place or whatever, and you got, like, you, like, literally had no idea what you were eating? Because that's happened to me a few times. And that grosses me out. Even if it's good, I'm like, I can't eat this because I have no idea.
I don't know what this is.
And they don't tell you. They'll just, like, oh, try it. You'll like it.
You could just ask what it is.
But I do. And they're like, oh, just try it. You'll like it. And you're like, what does that mean? Like, that's happened to me before.
Oh, that's not polite that they don't tell you what it is.
It scares me. That kind of thing scares me. I like to know what I'm putting in my body.
Yeah. Like, if it's just some mystery fried item and you can't tell what's in the batter sort of thing.
Mystery meat.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
If you know what you're eating, it's a lot easier to eat something that you hate.
Oh, because you're like, well, it's just chicken. Or whatever.
Yeah. But if you don't know what it is and you hate it, you're like, wow, this could be anything. I have no idea what I'm eating. I hate it.
Have you ever went to, like, a buffet or something? Or not a... Yeah. Like, you're at, like, a party or some event or whatever, and they have, like, a buffet of food, right? And you take... What? What's
the one? We have one of these at work, like...
And you take food, and you're often. Like, that looks really good. And then you eat it, and you're like, this is awful, but you, like, took way too much of it. Like, what do you do with that?
Oh, they made... what are those Polish dumplings called?
Polish dumplings.
Pierogies.
Pierogies, yeah.
Yeah, like, I really love pierogies.
Yeah,
me
too.
The last one of these that I went to, I saw that they had pierogies, and I was like, wow.
Like, oh, great, pierogies. I'm going to get like
five of these.
Yeah, I love pierogies.
Oh, they weren't good. The potatoes inside weren't cooked. They were, like, hard.
Yes. So what do you do with, like, a bad... Like, you eat one bad pierogi and then you have four more to eat? Like, what do you do at that point?
Okay, nope. So... If it's a big enough buffet, you make it look like you're going up for seconds.
And then you throw
and you strategically dump that plate.
Yeah, so you just have to do it out of the line of sight of people.
Yeah, but if this is kind of a small...
You metal your solid your way out.
Yeah, to get those pierogies off the plate. They're no good.
I mean, this happens to me like every time I go to like a party or an event with food, with a buffet. I'm like, that looks good. And I take too much and I'm like, that was really bad. I can't eat all this now.
Why did I take this?
I really should know. I should learn my lesson and be like, I'm only going to take like one of each thing and then I'll know.
And then go back.
And then I'll go back for seconds if I like it. But I'm always like, let me shovel this in. I love these things. Yeah. And then you're like, oh my God, what am I eating? And then if people see you throwing it away, they think you're like a wasteful, like, douche, you know?
Yeah, it probably doesn't even occur to them that you don't like it. They're just like, wow,
that guy just took five pierogies and threw them all away. Like, what an asshole. It's like, no, they're really bad. Try one. They're really awful.
I think the reason this happens a lot at the buffet kind of meals is people might make something that's out of their comfort zone because they know people like X thing.
Yeah.
It's like, this person had probably never made pierogies before.
But they're like, people like pierogies, so make it.
Even though I've never done it before.
Buffets are super hit or miss, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everything at a buffet is like, you have like a 50-50 chance that this is going to be like absolute shit. And then there's a 50% chance it's going to be pretty good. But you have no idea, like, which is which until you eat it.
Yeah.
It's like Schrodinger's cat, but with food. You, like, don't know if it's good or not. It's nothing to do with the consistency of the buffet. Like, it could be catered by whoever, but it's just like...
And you know what? Speaking of Schrodinger's cat, if you don't taste anything, then every buffet is always mediocre.
That's true. But see, then how do you throw it all away at the end of it?
Yeah.
You could take a lot of food and then not eat it. You could pretend you're eating food at the buffet. Like, you can go up with a plate and then, like, not put anything around, but, like, walk around the buffet. And then you, like, make a couple laps, and then you throw the plate away, and you go back down and sit at the table. And then if someone asks you if you already ate, you're like, oh, yeah, I was just up there. You didn't really...
I was over there talking to Jeff while I was eating. And
exactly. See? It's just a fake buffet. Schrodinger's buffet, as it were. Okay, you have one, or do you want me to keep going? I have a couple more if you want me to keep going.
Let's do one more, then we can do trivia.
Oh, all right. Let me find the best one that I have.
Okay.
I have two that are really good. I'll save that dumber one for later. This is a good question. What would be the most controversial object to find on the surface of Mars?
My mind is in the gutter today. I can't.
Do you look like I'm doing the ghost sounds?
Maybe there's a haunted house on Mars. That would be pretty controversial. I mean, you're making ghost sounds.
Why would there be that would be really crazy.
It would be extremely controversial.
I mean, obviously anything man-made on Mars would be weird, right?
I mean, think about it. Okay, astronauts land on Mars. Even if there is a house there, if astronauts say that the house is haunted, people are going to be like, oh no, they're suffering from space mania. Right?
That's true, yes. Where are you going with this, though?
It would be... I think I was heading towards an episode of The X-Files or something.
Oh, I like it. So it's like the haunted house. I think that was an episode of The X-Files.
So people go to the haunted house, and it happens to be on Mars. Mm-hmm. And they report that it's haunted, but Mission Control is just like, oh, they have space mania.
Is that a real thing, space mania?
It's like cabin fever.
Okay. So yeah. They're like, oh, it's haunted. And they're like, oh, they're just being astronauts. Whatever.
Yeah.
But then they keep, like, going back.
They tell the lead astronaut to drug the other astronauts. And then the astronauts find out that the lead guy is going to drug them. And there's, like, a huge betrayal fight sort of drama thing.
Kind of sounds like Sphere.
Yes.
I just watched that movie recently, so...
Except Sphere is underwater.
Yes, I know. But, like, they're on Mars, and they go in, and they're all changed every time they come out of the haunted house.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, the house is... You know, the weird thing about this premise is no one's questioning the fact that there's a house on Mars. Right?
The most like, like... Okay, yeah.
Like, that's, like, weird. Like, everyone's like, oh, there's not... The house is haunted. That... Don't be ridiculous.
It's just a house on Mars.
It's just a house on Mars. It's just a regular house on Mars. Don't think anything of that. But no, they go into the house, and then they come back. The leader goes in, because he's the leader. And then, yeah, he, like, drugs everyone. Why does he drug everyone again?
Because Mission Control said that they had space cabin fever.
And the captain has it, too. Well, he believes it, too, but he's better at, like, faking.
Yeah, he has, like, the special military training
that
allows him to cope with cabin fever more effectively.
Yeah. So is this a real haunted house, or is that just going space crazy?
I don't know. It's up for the audience to interpret their own.
Yeah. Their own thing. So would like their... I'm assuming they had like... Have you seen The Martian, right? Or no?
Yeah, The Martian. That's a great movie.
It's good. You know how they have like the habitat thing, you know?
Yeah.
So they like live in there, and then they'll like... They're going out on like expeditions every day to like look around Mars, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so like sometimes they'll go to the haunted house. And, like, you know, every day one person will go out there to, like, check it out or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they'll get weirder and weirder every time. And they'll start getting addicted to going to the haunted house.
Right. And there could be scenes where people wake up in the middle of the night and are, like, sleepwalking to the haunted house.
Or they're, like, in the haunted house.
Like, they appear in there or...
Yeah, they're in there somehow.
It's haunted.
They're like, how did I get haunted on the haunted house? Ah! And then they have to walk back to the habitat. And then the lead captain guy's like, where have you been?
Yeah, like, they don't want to get on the radio and tell anybody because then people will think that they're, you know, they're crazy.
Yeah, like because they keep going back to the haunted house. Because it's like calling their name. Every time they walk in, it's like, you know, there's like a Joe or whatever. It's like, Joe.
You must come here.
Yeah, and then, like, you gotta make it to the center. Oh, and it's like a maze, right? The house?
Yeah, there's a labyrinth.
Yeah, and you gotta make it to the center of the haunted house. Because in the center is, like, whatever you're looking for. And hell. For each... Well, that's the big spoiler at the end, though, right? This is like the plot of Doom now. But for each person, it's, like, a different thing. Like, one of the guy's, like, wife's died, so his, like, wife is calling to him. Mm-hmm. And then another guy's, like, I don't know, he wants to be, like, famous or something. So, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, everyone has their own, like, thing that they want. And the haunted house is always, like, calling to their, you know, their one desire, specifically.
Yeah. And the twist at the end is that they all die in the center of the house. And that they've all been dead the whole time.
Oh. Wait, so they die like the first 5 minutes of the movie or something?
Yeah, every person dies the first time they enter the house. And they just don't notice that they're dead for the rest of the movie. And no one notices that they're gone.
Maybe that is hell, right? Like, you keep walking it to the haunted house. You never get any further into the haunted house, though. It's on Mars. This is like a really weird movie.
Like a combination of 10 different horror franchises. It
sounds like a John Carpenter movie.
Yes.
Didn't he have a movie about like ghosts on Mars already? I'm pretty sure. Like Ghosts of Mars or something like that.
I didn't see that one. He had one called The Thing. It's kind of similar to this where it's in,
He's had a lot of weird movies, but I feel like he would make this movie. I would watch this movie. It'd be like Haunted House on Mars or something. I think for theaters, they would have to make it a little less on the nose than a haunted house. It'd be like an alien, like, you know, tomb or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not like a house.
Not like a Luigi's Mansion kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I keep thinking that it is, though. Like, it's just like chilling out there on Mars, Victorian era style or whatever. Like, that's.
Yeah. There's always a moon above it, even though there's there's no
like even though there's no moon on Mars.
It's a full moon.
It's just there all the time.
There's like wolves howling and crickets chirping.
Like when you get closer to the haunted house, it starts looking more and more like Earth, maybe. Yeah. Right? And it like looks like a real haunted house. And maybe that's how they die. They get into the center, they think they're on Earth, they take all their equipment off, and then they just die.
Yeah, maybe it's like radioactive, or there's some kind of Martian... Oh, here. There's a Martian mushroom growing around an area, and it releases spores.
Makes them go crazy.
And the spores make them go crazy, yeah.
And they all have the same, like, weird visions.
I don't know how it penetrates the spacesuit, but... Maybe it's an alien habitat, and they take off their masks like they do in every space movie ever for some reason.
They're like, it's safe. Like, it's
you safe, know how in, no, like, every time... This really bothered me in Prometheus. Mm-hmm. Every time astronauts land on an alien planet, they go inside the alien structure, and they get on their little pit boy on their wrist or whatever, and they like, oh, looks like the atmosphere reading is perfect.
Let's just take it off.
Better just take off our masks. Never mind that there might be bacteria that can kill us instantly. Or
they do it every time. It's so you can see their face, though.
Yeah, but...
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
All right. You want to get into trivia?
All right, I'm ready if you are.
It's my turn today, right?
It is my turn to ask you questions.
I'm ready.
You're leading. I don't remember how. I think it's a 5-7.
Yeah, that's question. Right.
Question. Yeah, we'll
are
go
you,
with it.
Are you in front of me? Yeah, you go. You've been going first, right?
I think you're winning. Or wait,
I'm winning? No,
I'm winning. It's 5-7, and if you get 3 right, it'll be 8-7, right. And you'll be winning. That's what's right. Happening. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so I will give you a list of lifelines. You'll tell me which ones you want to use, and then I'll ask you 3 questions.
Sounds
good. The lifelines are 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, Monty Hall, 50-50, Ask a Rando, Rhyme Time, and Bust a Move.
Oh, we've included Bust a Move again, I see.
I decided to include that one.
I'm going to do 30-second Yahoo. I love that.
One. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Monty Hall. Maybe I'll change it up. Maybe I'll go Rhyme Time this time.
Rhyme Time?
Ooh, changing it up a little bit.
All right.
I'm ready.
So the first category is going to be bird.
I love bird.
The maximum speed of a chicken is 7 miles per hour. A. Uh-huh. B, 8 miles per hour.
Oh, great.
C, 9 miles per hour.
Fantastic.
D, 10 miles per hour.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Couldn't you have had like 8, 20, 50, 70?
1, 5, 10, 20?
I'm assuming this running speed, because I can't really fly, right?
It is the maximum speed of a chicken.
So however...
According to birdtrivia.com.
However they want to... To get to that speed. Oh, there's a birdtrivia.com now, huh?
I don't think that was the exact domain, but it was
made just for our show, right?
Yeah.
So 6, 7, 8, 9, or was it?
7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay. So I have 30-second Google, I have Monty Hall, and I have Rhyme Time. I don't think Rhyme Time will work very well in this one.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna do 30-second Yahoo on this one.
Okay.
Can you repeat the question really quick?
The maximum speed of a chicken.
Okay, I got it. I'm ready.
Is. All right. You haven't opened Yahoo yet, have you?
No, I'm in the browser. I'm ready to type it in.
All right. On your marks, get set, go.
All right. My God, Yahoo's really small. Slow, it's not. What is the maximum speed of a chicken?
You gotta load all those advertisements.
It's a lot. Okay, answers.com, is that gonna help me?
I don't know.
Oh, this is really slow to load. Holy freaking shit.
You have 10 seconds.
Chicken, 9 miles per hour.
You're going with C, 9 miles per hour is your final answer?
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The maximum speed of a chicken is C, 9 miles per hour. That's a fast chicken.
I have to tell you, the first site I went to was answers.com, and they have like one of those stupid, like, you have to click on the picture slideshow, like,
in order to proceed.
And and the chicken wasn't even the first one. It was like maximum speed of animals, and there's like 10. So I had to like find a, I had to find like a chart of all the animal speeds.
You did good.
Thank you. Anyway, all right, I'm on to the next one.
On to the next one. The next category is retro video game cartoons. I really like this category.
That's very specific. All right.
All right. Name the robot duo who are one of the primary antagonists of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, the animated TV show from the 1990s.
Sure, yep.
So the robotic duo who are the primary antagonists of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay, I'm ready.
Is it A, Badnik and Grounder? B, Robot Chicken and Doc Chop? C, Chopper and Breezy? Or D, Wired Earp and DOS Holiday?
Are you for real? Like,
a lot of these are actual villains from the show, but only two.
Oh,
only
really?
One, yeah, many of these are actual characters.
I was going to say, like, either you're like the most creative freaking person ever, or these are real.
But there's two who are most prominently featured.
All right, give me their names again, because I want to write them all down.
A, Badnik and Grounder.
Yeah.
B, Robot Chicken and Doc Chop. C, Chopper and Breezy. And D, Wired Earp and DOS Holiday.
I feel like Wired Earp and DOS Holiday is too on the nose. But maybe not. I think this is the perfect question to do a Monty Hall on.
I think you're right.
But I'm trying to figure out which one I want a Monty Hall.
Yeah, it's a tough choice.
I think I'm gonna, Monty Hall with Wired Earp locked in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll remove two. I'm going to remove Robot Chicken and Doc Chop.
Right.
And Chopper and Breezy.
Oh, damn it!
So it's either Badnik and Grounder or Wired Earp and DOS Holiday.
Badnik and Grounder was the one I wanted you to eliminate, because I was like, that's the one I could see. It's, they sound very Sonic-y.
Yeah.
Badnik? Like, what kind of a fucking stupid name is that?
I mean, you heard all of them.
No, it's like, no, it's just like, Badnik is so stupid of a name that I feel like that's the right answer. You know what I mean? They're these guys are robots, right?
Yes. They're robots, and they work for Dr. Robotnik.
Okay, so either Wired Earp and DOS Holiday, because that seems way too, like, on the nose for me, though. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna go with Badnik
and Grounder.
So A, Badnik and Grounder. Yeah, they're and the Grounder. Two primary antagonists of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah. So is Wired Earp a real thing?
Yeah, that's real.
Really? It's from Sonic 2 though?
And DOS Holiday.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it is a real name. I thought those were just made up.
No, I'm not that good.
That's amazing. Badnik and Grounder. What an awful name. All right.
Yeah, Badnik is a robot chicken.
I have to say that those names are some of the most Sonic sounding names. I think we should have Sonic trivia like from now on. Until we run out.
You know? That's a lot of Sonic.
That's fine. I like Sonic is, well, I don't like Sonic, but I like the idea of Sonic. All right, next question.
The final category is fish.
Oh, I like it.
What fish does beluga caviar come from?
Okay.
A, sturgeon. B, trout. C, carp. Or D, lumpfish.
Sturgeon, trout, or what?
Carp or lumpfish.
I think it's the sturgeon or the carp. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can get caviar from any of these fish, but beluga caviar only comes from one.
All right, I'm going to do rhyme time. You have to rhyme a phrase that it gives me a hint about this.
Okay.
Good luck.
I This is automatically going to give you the answer. None of these sound even remotely the same.
That's why I chose Rhyme Time.
Rhyme Time is cheap. I'm banning that from the next
one. Can I do a preliminary answer then?
Yes.
And then if I get it like in Rhyme Time, you'll know it was fair. My preliminary would be, if I didn't have the lifeline, would be Sturgeon.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
If you have a hurtin', you might want to see a surgeon.
Sturgeon, final answer.
A sturgeon is the correct
answer. So see, I was right even without Rhyme Time.
You were right, yeah.
So does that make you feel a little better now?
Yes, it does.
Yes, we'll ban Rhyme Time from now on. I love Rhyme Time. It's so stupid. It's an auto win, basically.
I need... Maybe we should just start preparing for Rhyme Time and make all the answers rhyme.
Like every possible answer is a rhyming thing. That would be kind of fun. We could have one rhyming question every episode, and that's the only one you can use Rhyme Time on.
Okay.
That actually still doesn't make any sense.
No.
Oh, well, it's fine. All right, so I'm in the lead now, right? It's 8-5.
It's 8-7.
Oh, 8-7, sorry.
Yeah, you're beating me.
All right. Well, do you want to do one last Reddit before we wrap things up?
Yeah, let's do one last one.
Did you have a good one that you wanted to get to? I know there was
no.
You didn't have any good ones?
None of them are good.
All right. Well, let's wrap up with this one. What would you do if you were being followed by the FBI?
Am I in danger of being apprehended, or are they just kind of stalking me?
You don't know. They're just stalking. You just see him. You see him at the corner of your eye, and you're like, that's the FBI.
I would probably consult a therapist.
But they're going to watch you. They're like, their eyes are on you all the time. You're like Jason Bourne, right? They're like just watching you all the time.
But maybe they're actually not, and I just think they are.
Oh, so it's like a psychological thing.
The first thing I would do is probably see a doctor. And about see what? That if I... But, you know, maybe the FBI are paying off the doctor. Maybe they visit the doctor's office and they're like, you need to tell this guy that he's just being silly.
This sounds like a fantastic thriller. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Right?
It's kind of like Jason Bourne, except Jason Bourne just thinks he's crazy.
It's like kind of like Total Recall.
Total Recall is like Psychedelic Vacation.
No, I know. But, like... Yeah. You think someone's following you, and you think you're like a crazy, like Jason Bourne kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, like no one's actually following you. But you think they are.
But in this one, you think they're not, but they actually are.
Oh, that's like the super twist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like the character thinks they are. But then everyone's like, no, you're being crazy.
You know, this could almost be like a Mr. Magoo kind of thriller where the whole movie is him just doing comedy around trying to get himself help for his paranoid delusions. But
of him being followed by the FBI.
But his various like ways he tries to cure himself just thwart the FBI at every turn.
Yeah.
Like he goes on like a spirit pilgrimage to Arizona and like takes walks in the mountains.
Yeah.
And the FBI have trouble finding him because it's out in the remote wilderness.
And they have like helicopters flying everywhere. Yeah. But they have no idea where he is.
They're like, wow, this guy's good.
He's really good. And he's like in a tent with like a spirit healer or something.
Yeah, he's with a shaman.
And he's like high out of his mind while the helicopters are going up top, so he has no idea what's going on. And then, yeah. So he never like really like sees them like concrete proof. It's always like, oh, I see some guys in suits that have been walking with me or whatever. You know.
He just thinks he's being super paranoid. But he's constantly trying to fix this paranoia he has.
And every mistake he makes, like, thwarts the FBI even further.
That would be funny.
I like that. I would watch that movie. It would be like a comedy thriller.
Yeah. Kind of like... Oh, this is going to be a bad example, but Last Action Hero.
Yes, yeah, like the Last Action Hero. But like a spoof off the, like, Jason Bourne style.
Yeah.
Like, thriller action movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a similar tone to The Life Aquatic, probably.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like spoofing the Jason Bourne spy, like, paranoid thriller movies, you know?
Yeah.
I like it. It's good. Like, Enemy of the State or whatever. But, like, he's crazy or whatever, but he's actually getting followed.
Maybe he's a super soldier that has amnesia.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was trained to be, like, the, whatever that, the Superman.
Yeah.
You know, the super Captain perfect America. Soldier.
Yeah.
But the program got defunded, and they, like, wiped his memory, and now he's just some goofy guy that lives by himself.
He's, like, really clumsy. Like, that would be a thing or for some reason.
But maybe he's, like, getting close by accident to rediscovering his past, and the FBI is trying to interfere.
And he gets help from, like, a stranger that he thinks is just, like, a friend, but is really, like, a double agent or something.
Yeah, there's, like, an FBI defector that feels bad for him or something. Yeah.
Yes, the Julia Stiles to this, you know, from the foreign movies to this guy, if we're using that example. Yeah, okay. Well, this episode's been good. We've created two really interesting movies that I would see tomorrow if they came out.
Yeah, same.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No.
Wow, this has been a long episode. We're almost in an hour and 20.
That's crazy. Pretty normal.
All right, well, thank you for listening. This has been the Time Bat Show. I'm Time Asus.
I'm Bat Snacks.
And remember, if you've been bad,
do it like dad.
Thank you and good night, everyone.
Good night.